Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. And here, Paul speaks of the confidence that we have in God's love toward us in Jesus Christ. Listen now for the word. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others. But we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. May we be blessed in the hearing of this word. Our gospel lesson is drawn from Mark, the fourth chapter. And here we hear two of the kingdom parables. Parables that speak to us in ordinary language about something that is a great mystery. Listen now for good news from Mark. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. May we be blessed in the hearing of this good news. I invite you to pray with me. God of life and truth, you have taught us that we cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Feed us with the word of life, and by your Spirit lead us into truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Most of the time when we hear the word mystery, we think detective story or whodunit. We may think of something difficult to explain in nature when we think about, well, it's kind of a mystery how those animals do what they do. It's important, though, for us to realize that one of the earliest descriptions of the church's worship was the phrase, the divine mystery, also sometimes used in the plural as the sacred mysteries. Mystery simply means something hidden. We come to worship a God whom none of us has ever laid eyes upon. At least I'm assuming that none of us have ever laid eyes upon. I don't see anyone glowing in the dark. We come because there have been those in history, including some of our immediate relatives, who have experienced the revelation of this hidden God whom we've never seen with our eyes, but yet have experienced in one way or another. Many of us, perhaps even most of us, do believe that this mysterious divine one is also really present to us and is among us in the here and now, even in this here and now. And one of the reasons we come to worship, to ascribe worth, for that is what worship means, why we come to worship God is precisely because we trust that one of the ways that God continues to reveal God's self to us is in the act of worship. As Christian believers, then, we hold that God opens to us and identifies with us in the sacred mysteries. To be precise, in the celebration of word and sacrament. The scripture is filled with stories of memorials, of opportunities to recall, to remember, and to celebrate God's self-disclosure. Again and again, God acts in ways that are mysterious, that are hidden to us, perhaps even unexpected by us. But yet God does so to remind us that God is God, and that we are not. The lessons we've shared today each show God at work in mysterious, hidden ways, which still bring forth some new and wonderful blessing for those who are willing to wait to receive what God wants to show. The story of David's anointing by Samuel is classic in that regard. Samuel goes to Ramah, and Jesse produces son after son, and each time God tells the prophet, "No, I don't care how tall, how strong, how good-looking the fellow is, he isn't my choice." And after seven of them, and is seven a significant number in the Bible? Yes. It means completeness. Seven of them, there should be no more. After they come to completeness, what happens? David, the shepherd boy, the least of the brothers, comes in and God says, "That one." God picks David, and through him not only makes Israel a world power, but also uses him as the source of the line through which the Messiah will come. Look at the Bible, and you'll see that God tends to take the weak, the least, and the unexpected to do great things. And why I say about David, he may have been physically quite strong and quite the warrior, but you know what? He had a weakness. It showed up with a lady by the name of Bathsheba. And yet, God could say of him, "This is one after my own heart." Now, what does that say? Well, what that says, dear friends, is that there is certainly hope for you and for me if God can take these folks and still do great things through them. You and I can become the unexpected means through which God can do great things. We get the same thing in Paul's words to the Corinthian church. He tells them flat out, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See," and I love what he says there, "idu," see, look, behold, right there, right in front of you, see, everything has become new. Again, this speaks hope to us. We, you and I, we are the new creation that Paul is talking about. And what this implies is that we are now enabled to put aside old ways of thinking, old ways of acting, because we are striving to follow Christ's example of living in perfect, and when I say perfect, read complete or whole, obedience to the Father. And understand what it means to live in obedience. It doesn't mean to follow a set of rules. The word obedience comes from the Latin, which tells us that we are to listen with the ear of the heart, that we are to listen deeply. If we are obedient, it means we have heard something and we have followed. That's what Paul is telling us we are enabled to do. And then there are Jesus' words about how plants grow. How plants grow without our always seeing or understanding, and about faith the size of a mustard seed. Are you catching a theme here? Can you see, can you hear that God works with the small, that God works with the unexpected, and just keep adding the descriptors. God works in ways that you and I don't understand. Also that you and I, so that we can be brought more and more into God's life. God works mysteriously, and we worship through the divine mysteries. For Christians, the celebration of the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, communion, pick your favorite name for it, is the act of worship par excellence. Here, we break open the Word, which is what we're doing right now. And then we head to the table. And through the sacrament, we break the bread and we share the cup. Both of these actions, the breaking open of the Word and the sharing of bread and cup, doing the same thing, joining us with our living Lord, making us what we are called to be, the body of Christ in the world. The mystery of this act of worship is that through simple, ordinary things, human words, and the stuff of ordinary nourishment, through those ordinary things, God does something extraordinary. And we are brought into oneness, into union with the living God in the living Christ. These actions then remind us that the words that we speak in the everyday when we leave this meeting house and leave the sacred mysteries, well, those words do make a difference in the world around us. And they also remind us that we are called to be, as St. Augustine said to his people long ago, what we receive and see at the table. Remember, he's the one who told us, you are what you eat. What you receive from the table, that is what you become. You become the body of Christ. So then our lives are to be thanksgivings, Eucharists to God. And our lives are to nourish and to build up people just as we are nourished and built up by what we receive. God indeed acts mysteriously. The kingdom of God is present mysteriously. You and I are part of the mysterious working and mustard seed planting of the kingdom in the here and now. Understand the wonder of what we do here in these very simple acts of speaking and listening, of taking and eating and drinking. Allow what we do to let those mustard seeds grow, to mature, and to make a difference in day-to-day living. You know, we don't need an Hercule Poirot. We don't need a Miss Marple. We don't need a Brother Cadfile or any other of our favorite detectives to unravel this mystery. No, this is not a mystery to be solved, but to be embraced. We simply must embrace it, live into it, and grow through it. God works mysteriously, and you and I, dear ones, we are the proof of it. Live in the mystery and celebrate it. Amen.